All right. Well, take your Bibles, if you have a Bible, and you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy again. The title of this sermon is Doing Church with Your Kids. Doing Church with Your Kids. Now, again, as I said last week, we're finishing up a two-week sermon series on parenting and the church's role in helping you reach your kids for Christ. We're going to finish up today. Next week, we're going to be back in the Sermon on the Mount. We've got three more weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, and then we'll be done with the Sermon on the Mount. A great accomplishment for a church, and I'm excited about that. Then coming up after the Sermon on the Mount, I'm really excited about what we're going to be studying next as a church. We're going to be going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. Now, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which cover the life and the teachings, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is known as the earliest one, the first one written. And it's the shortest. It's real fast. It's only 16 chapters. But what we're going to do is we're going to take four chapters at a time. And then after we deal with four chapters in Mark, we're also at the same time going to be dealing with the pastoral epistles. So we're going to do Mark and the pastoral epistles at the same time. What are the pastoral epistles? That's 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. These are letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to young pastors, Timothy and Titus, about leading a church and building a healthy church and helping people grow to maturity in Christ. So we've got a lot of great, great studies coming up in our future. But we're going to finish up with this sermon series today. As I said, the title is Doing Church with Your Kids. If you're not a parent right now, yet I should say, then this is a great series to be in. Anytime we teach on parenting, you want to be here. You don't want to skip those Sundays. Because as I said last week, you don't want to wait until there's a fire to find out where the fire hydrant is, or the fire extinguisher is. You find those things out before, ahead of time. And that's kind of what we're doing with learning about parenting. As much as you can possibly learn before you become a parent, the better. You want to get a strong biblical foundation about parenting. If you're an empty nester, if you have grown kids, you want to be here too anytime we talk about parenting, because you want to be able to encourage your grown children. You want to be able to encourage the young families in our church that are still raising kids in the home. You want to be able to counsel them, pray for them correctly, encourage them. So it's very good for everybody to be here. What I want to do today is I want to talk to you about the power of actually sharing church with your kids, doing church with your kids as a shared experience. That title may be misleading, because it may sound like what I'm saying is doing church with your kids at home. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the power of doing church at church with your kids, and you'll see what I'm talking about as we go. There was a statistic that I read out last week to you that is really, really alarming. 70 to 90% of Christian teens, and I use that word Christian lightly, that means they grew up in a Christian home from a Christian church like ours, 70 to 90% are leaving the church after high school never to return. 70 to 90%. That means if in this room, let's say that there are 18 children, or 20 children represented in this room right now, 20 children that are still at home, that means if our church just does what the average normal Christian church does, and that means only two of them are going to continue to follow Christ after high school. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about what you need to do as a parent to increase the chances, because listen, there's nothing you can do to absolutely guarantee that your child will follow Christ. It's a decision every person must make on their own. But there are definitely wise parenting tactics and foolish parenting tactics. Amen? There's definitely ways that you can increase the chances that you will reach your children, that your children will follow Christ for life after they leave home. And there's things you can do to decrease the chances. In the same way, there are things that a church can do to increase the chances that children will follow Christ for life. And there are things that a church can do that will decrease the chances that a child will follow Christ for life. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to just do quite a bit of a review this morning, just to talk about what we mentioned last week. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 is a foundational passage when it comes to parenting. This is called the Shema, because the very first word in Hebrew, listen, is the Hebrew word Shema, the most important passage in the Bible for Jews. Orthodox Jews still recite this passage three times a day. Very, very important passage. It was reiterated by Jesus in the New Testament and by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. So it's still very, very relevant, completely applicable to us today. Verse 4, listen, O Israel. Moses is talking to the Israelites. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Just to review, three parenting lessons from this passage that you have to understand, and you have to build your family around these parenting principles in order to have the best chance of discipling your children, of leading your children to Christ. Number one is to be today what you want your kids to be tomorrow. Be today what you want your kids to be tomorrow. That is, you've got to model the way. If you want your kids to be fully devoted followers of Jesus for life, you've got to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot pass on what you don't possess. There's no power in telling your children, do what I say, just ignore what I do. Doesn't work, right? So be today, parents. You've got to be very serious about modeling and exemplifying what you want your children to be as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Number two, and by the way, that's where before Moses says anything about parenting, he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourselves to these things. Then he talks about parenting. Number two, the second parenting lesson is to take an active role in your child's spiritual instruction. Now, no Christian parent would see that as controversial. Of course you would want to take an active role in your child's spiritual instruction. But this is where the disconnect is. All growing up, I was under the assumption, the unbiblical assumption, that parents are called to be responsible for the discipleship of their children, but it doesn't matter who disciples your children. Parents, God just wants you to make sure it gets done. But as you read this passage and as you read Ephesians 6:4, which talks about fathers in particular, what you find is that the scriptures are very, very clear and very particular that this is a task you cannot delegate as a parent. It doesn't matter who teaches your child soccer, piano, guitar, or dance. It does matter who teaches your child to follow Christ. And that's you, parents. You've got to be teaching. Can you get help from the church? Can you get help from the school? Absolutely, you should. But primarily, there must be home discipleship. Mom and dad, this is what so many Christian parents are not doing. And this is why I believe we're losing the next generation. We have lost the next generation. Why the church and why Christian parents have lost 90% of the next generation. It's because parents are diligent to bring their kids to church, but they're not diligent about discipling their kids at home. And that's what the Bible teaches. Teach your kids. Take an active role. In particular, fathers. If there's a Christian father in the home, you need to be sitting down with your kids twice a day, once a day, once a week, however much you think is sufficient. For me, it's four times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, and you need to be catechizing your kids. You need to be teaching them to follow Christ, teaching them the Word of God. Okay? So that's number two. Number three, the third parenting lesson is structure your life. Structure your life so that you have as much time as possible with your kids. Notice that after Moses says, repeat these things or to teach your children, he says, talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. This passage assumes two things. It assumes, number one, that parents, you're going to be sitting at home with your kids, in particular fathers, if there's a Christian father in the home, you're sitting down with your kids, teaching them to follow Christ, teaching them systematically in a structured format. But it also assumes that you're going to have lots of time together as a family. That you're not a part of the minivan generation that's constantly just chauffeuring your kids from one event, one activity, one program, one location to the next. But that you're spending lots of time together as a family. Because the more time you have, the more influence you have. And God has not called you to make sure that your child has good influences. He's called you to be a good influence on your child. That takes lots of time. The more time, the more influence. The more time you have, the more teachable moments you have. And this passage assumes that you're going to have lots and lots of time and that you're using all of life as teachable moments for your child. You're teaching them in a structured format, but you're also using all of life to teach them about God. Those three parenting lessons are so fundamental, so basic, so essential, yet so ignored, because they do take a great commitment, and they do change the structure of your life, the structure of your time, the structure of the way you live, if you take it seriously. Now, what I want to do next is I want to talk to you again about our church's strategy for how we want to help you reach the next generation. And it centers around parents. Reaching the next generation centers around parents. Parents are the key. Here's our strategy in a sentence. We exhort and equip parents to disciple their kids in the home. That's what the Bible just taught. Parents, teach your children. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, teach your children. So we exhort, that means we tell parents, parents, you must be discipling your kid. That's what exhort means. Parents, do it. Do it. And if you're not, you need to repent. Do it. Equip means we're going to show you how. It's time to wake up. Somebody, you heard the rooster crowing. That's okay. We needed a little comic relief at that moment. So exhort and equip parents. So we want to tell parents, do it. Then we want to come alongside parents and say, here's how. Let us help you. What do you need from us as a church? What do you need from me as a pastor to help you, to equip you, to teach you how, to give you the tools you need? And then we enable them to do church with their kids as a shared experience. As a shared experience. We are what some would label a family integrated church or a multi-generational church or an intergenerational church, which is not traditional. Not for the past 100, 150 years. It's really, really traditional for the past 2,000 years, but not for the past 100, 150 years where the church has been age segregated. Starting this year, we're rolling out a new change at our church. As part of the reason for this sermon series, we've already had a family integrated student ministry. Now we want to bring that into our children's ministry. We still want to have nursery for the children that are too young to be taught how to behave in church. But we're no longer having kids of courage. No longer having kids of courage for that kindergarten through fifth grade. Instead, what we want is for parents to bring your kids with you in church. As soon as you feel like they're old enough, we want you to bring them with you to home group. As soon as you feel like they're ready, we want you to bring them with you, right next to you when you volunteer. This is called family integration. This is called doing church with your kids. Remember that what Moses taught as one of the keys to reaching your children is lots and lots of time with your kids. And so it's a whole new way of seeing church. That instead of I'm bringing my church so they can be discipled, instead I'm coming to church so that we can be discipled as a family, and I'm continuing my discipleship at church. I disciple my kids at home, and then I'm coming to church with my kids, and I'm going to continue discipling them by sitting next to them at church. There's a lot of teachable moments that are happening when you do church with your kids instead of sending them away in another room where you can't see them. So, at Church Acadiana, we don't have a youth group. We don't have a children's ministry. We are a youth group. We are a children's ministry. And so, at most churches, the family arrives together. But when they get to church, they divide. They go their separate ways. This is traditional church that many of you probably have experienced before. At Church Acadiana, we want to intentionally do the opposite, which is we want to keep families together. We want to keep you with your kids because parents are the key to reaching their children. So somebody may say, so what do you have for children, for students? We have church. We have church with your family. And we have equipping parents. What we do is we focus on equipping parents to disciple their kids at home, which they're supposed to do, have to do biblically. So we allow parents to do church with their kids. Now, don't misunderstand. Just because we don't have a traditional youth ministry or a traditional children's ministry does not mean that we're not passionate about reaching the next generation. We are extremely passionate about the next generation, and that's why we're doing things in a non-traditional way. It's because the traditional church is not working. If anybody here would say that 90% of kids leaving the faith, leaving the church after high school is a good statistic that we want to just be a part of, then you're smoking crack. That's the only thing I could think of at the time, sorry. But it's got to be something to do with crack. It's just not going to work. So the reason why we do things differently is because we're so passionate about the next generation. Now, whenever we say we're taking away kids of courage, that sounds like, so you're taking something away from kids. What we're doing is we're giving kids what's very best for them. We believe that your kids being in here with you and being next to you in home group and next to you in volunteering is what's best for them. And this is not just something I have decided to roll out on the church and just bulldoze everybody through. This is our lead team. This is, you know, my mom and dad did a great job with Kids of Courage, but they have caught this vision. They want this for you and for our church. So we are very passionate about reaching the next generation. It's just we have a different approach. Every church says we're a family church and we love kids and we love the next generation. But it's just, it looks differently from church to church. That means totally different things for different churches. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in what? And get in trouble. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. A lot of you, that's your life story. But then look at the next verse, Proverbs 22:15. It says, a youngster's heart is filled with what? A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. What that means is that all of us, when we were children, were fools. Nobody here would disagree with that. Not foolish in the sense that we're denying the existence of God, but just foolish in that we don't have much wisdom about us. Very naive, very inexperienced, very uneducated, very spiritually immature. So, what these verses say is that every child is a fool. You don't teach kids to be mature by surrounding them with immaturity. You teach kids to be mature by putting them in an environment where they're surrounded by maturity, where they're surrounded by wisdom. So our strategy for reaching the next generation is in accordance with these verses, in accordance with the Bible. We don't want to separate students from mature adults and from their parents and from wisdom and put them in an environment where they're in a room full of foolishness and full of immaturity. Instead, we want to bring kids with adults, with maturity, with wisdom, so that they can grow in wisdom, so they can be matured. There's a myth out there that says that what your kids need are Christian friends their age. Find that for me in the Bible. Let me tell you what your kids need, biblically speaking. Your kids need you to be today what you want them to be tomorrow. Number two, your kids need you to take a serious and active role of discipling them at home. And number three, your kids need lots of time with you so that you can influence them more than they're being influenced by everybody else out in the world. And family integration helps you do that. We're giving you more time with your kids and we're equipping you to disciple your kids at home. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you don't want your kid to have friends. Your kid is going to have friends. And if they're going to have friends, you want them to have Christian friends and not pagan friends. But if your strategy for reaching your kid, making sure your kid follows Christ, is hooking them up with the right friends, that's an unbiblical and a very unwise strategy. Because what you're doing is you're hooking them up with fools. Foolishness is in the heart of every youngster. Somebody might say, whenever you tell them about your church, they say, well, why doesn't your church have a youth group or a children's ministry? And this is where you need to push back a little bit, because it's a paradigm shift. All they've never known, perhaps, is a church having a children's ministry or having a youth ministry. And so that's why they're asking, why doesn't your church? You turn it around and you say, why should the church have a children's ministry or a youth ministry? You can't give me a biblical answer to that question. You can give me a philosophical or some psychological or Freudian answer for that question, but you can't give me a biblical answer for why the church should segregate, should take children away from adults and from their parents. It's not in the Bible. In fact, what the Bible teaches over and over again is it says, parents, you disciple your children. The second thing we have is example after example, all the examples we have in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New, of entire families coming together for worship. Here's an example in Joshua chapter 8. Joshua is doing something that today we would say would put everybody to sleep. He just stood up there and he read the law, the Old Testament law, to the entire Israelite community. That's a lot of reading. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So Joshua just stood up there and he read all the Levitical, all the civic, all the sacrificial laws to the people of Israel. Notice who was there. It says, Joshua then read to them all the blessings and curses Moses had written in the book of instruction. Every word of every command. Putting me to sleep here. Every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the foreigners who lived among them. Nobody said, well, listen, this is going to be a lot. This is going to be some heavy stuff. Let's take the kids and let's somebody put on a puppet show for them and entertain them for a while. Let's dumb things down for them, simplify things, because, listen, the kids just aren't going to put up with this. This is just way too heavy for the kids. That didn't go on. It doesn't go on anywhere in the Scriptures. And so anytime somebody says, so why doesn't your church have this or that, you say, why should they? Should the church have this or that? And they cannot give you a biblical answer. Now you might ask, what if my kids think that Sunday worship and home group are boring? Well, and this is what one of the things I said last week. What if your child comes home from school and says that school is boring? Well, you give them a psychological, emotional kick in the pants and you say, I don't care. You go to school and you bring home straight A's. If it's so boring, then you should be having no trouble with the classwork. Listen, don't be bothered when your child, hopefully you know this as a parent, don't be bothered when your child complains about things being boring. We go on vacation at the beach and my kids are like, this is boring. That's just kids. Our goal and the goal of any church must never be to make church fun for anybody. Instead, we want to make church really, really boring. No, I'm just kidding. But the goal must never be to make church fun. And here's why. It's because if your children grow up being taught that church is supposed to be fun, it has to be fun, then when they get to be an adult, they're going to think, church needs to be fun and entertaining. And if it's not, I can find more fun and entertaining things to do outside of church. And so why go? And whenever, even if they continue to follow Christ as an adult and it's time for them to find a church, they're going to be looking around for the church, not that that's the most biblical, but the church that's the most fun and entertaining. That's not what we want to teach our kids. Listen, why do you go to church? It's not because you can't think of anything more fun to do with your time. As an adult, you go to church because you know you're called to gather with other believers. You know you're called to sit under the preaching of God's word. You know you're called to sing praises in corporate worship with the church. You know you're called to get in community, to get in fellowship, and to do life with other believers. You know that all those things benefit you in an amazing way and help you grow in Christ, which is something that because you're saved, you really, really want. And so if your child thinks that church is boring, it's probably because they've never gotten yet to that spiritual level where they see all the benefits, all the biblical foundations for needing to be at church, supposed to be at church, church benefits me. And so that the responsibility then is on your shoulders as a parent to disciple your child, to lead them to salvation in Christ, and then to help them grow and to see why you need church, why church is beneficial. And as the Lord grows them, suddenly they'll say, this is good. I need this. I'm enjoying this because they're growing in Christ right there alongside you. And so don't worry about church being boring for your kids. Listen, the reason why church is boring for a lot of kids is because that church is boring. It's not because we need to dumb things down or simplify things for kids. You know, if I stand up here and read a liturgy in Latin, yeah, it's going to be boring for the kids. But listen, one of the myths out there is that adult worship and adult preaching is over the heads of children. Let me tell you, that's an unbiblical idea. A lot of Sundays, I have children run up to me after church, more excited than any of you adults about what I've just taught. They run up to me, and I'm not just talking about my kids. They run up to me and they say, Pastor Randy, that was great. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do this and this about it. They're going to apply the message to their lives. They're so excited about what they've just learned. We had a lady that came to church one time. She came And she had several grandkids that were in Kids of Courage. And she heard the sermon, and the sermon was on the golden rule in the Sermon on the Mount. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So after the sermon, she came up to me. She said, man, I wish the kids were in here for that. This is not over the heads of your kids. Even my kindergartner gets so much out of church. But there's a lot more than just the preaching and the music that they get out of. We'll get to that in just a moment. They get out of it a lot more than just that. People tend to live up to the expectations that you place on them. You know that, right? People tend to live up to the expectations that you place on them. And so if you treat a child like he's a piece of trash, then he's going to probably act trashy and not take good care of himself. If you treat a child like he's a dummy, then he's probably going to act like a dummy and grow up to be an underachiever. If you treat your daughter like she's a princess, then she's going to grow up thinking that she's supposed to be in charge and that everybody's supposed to cater to her preferences. And if you treat children and students like they're the church of tomorrow and not the church of today by separating them and putting them in another room, then the message we're sending them is, you're not ready for big church, you're not ready for adult church, you're not really ready for real church, you're not ready to be the church of today. And when you send that message to them, they're not going to act like the church of today. But whenever we integrate, we put the generations together, we bring the children in and we say, serve God and seek the Lord with all your heart today. You don't wait until you become an adult. You don't wait until you move out of the house. You get serious about your faith and start loving and serving Jesus. Start bringing your tithes and offerings. Start volunteering. Participate. Worship with all your heart today, right now. When you treat children as if they're the church of today, they will rise up and act like the church today and not wait until they become an adult, which never happens. There's an old saying that says, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. As I said, if that higher statistic is right, 9 out of 10 kids are leaving the church never to return after high school. Now, what makes us think if we just do the traditional church thing, and if you just do the traditional family thing, that it's just normal, what makes you think that your children will turn out any different than the statistics? There's another great saying out there that says, to reach people nobody else is reaching, you have to do what nobody else is doing. Now that quote is usually talking about the unchurched, which is what we're really passionate about here at Church Gideon, is reaching the lost and unchurched. But we're also passionate about reaching the next generation, which is not being reached. Yes, family integration is not normal, but normal is not working. Now we can be a normal church and just hope for the best, or we can go back to the Bible. And we can be willing to blaze a trail and say, we don't care if, you know, some families may come to our church and want all the bells and the whistles and want us to entertain their kids. And they might leave because we don't have all that stuff. We want to do what's best. Not what people want, what's best. Because we're serious about reaching the next generation. Before we close, I want to give you two benefits of family integrated ministry. Two benefits of doing church with your kids as opposed to separating the family. These are two benefits that you can't get in a traditional church. Number one is that family integration enables you to model your faith, and number two, it enables you to observe their faith. Let's go through these just one at a time. First of all, family integrated ministry enables you to model your faith. It enables you to model your faith. Christianity is just as much caught as taught. In fact, it's more caught than it is taught. Your children don't just need explanation. They need exemplification. They don't just need you or somebody else to teach them. They need you to show them how to live the Christian life. Now, most Christian parents, I should say some Christian parents, you know, giving them the benefit of the doubt, they're showing the Christian life, they're exemplifying the Christian life at home. Hopefully, giving them the benefit of the doubt. But that's where it ends. They're not showing them the Christian life at church, which is so important to the Christian life. Instead, the only thing they're showing their kids about church is that it's important to go to church. But whenever they get to church, they go their own separate ways. They divide. And so there's no modeling going on at church. Parents are not showing their kids the Christian life at church. But with family integrated ministry, you get to model the way. You get to show them your passion. You get to show them how to do church. You get to show them how to be on time for church. You get to show them how to sing praise songs, how to worship God, how to listen to a sermon, how to take notes, how to behave in church, how to sit next to somebody without distracting that somebody. You get to show them how to treat newcomers, how to give an offering. In home group, let's say you can bring your kid with you and have them sit next to you in home group. You get to show them how to talk and interact with other believers, how to love other believers. You get to show them how to pray in a group setting with other believers. You get to show them how to share their views and how to share their opinions in a kind way, in a respectful way. There's so much modeling that goes on whenever you do church with your kids. Listen, you know this, that kids tend to grow up and embrace the values and the passions of their parents if those values and passions are shared. For example, if you like hunting and fishing, and if you're passionate about hunting and fishing, and if you grow up, your child grows up with you sharing and modeling that passion with them, you take them hunting, you take them fishing, then your child is probably going to grow up passionate about hunting and fishing. If you're passionate about the New Orleans Saints, and you share and model that passion for your kids, and you buy them Saints shirts, and you're wearing your Saints shirt, and you watch Saints game together, and you take them to a few Saints games along the way as they're growing up, then your child is probably going to grow up to be unfortunately, I know Tom and Lindsay, that killed you, but they're going to grow up to be a Saints fan. Well, unfortunately, if all you do, if you're not modeling the Christian faith for your child at church, why are we surprised if they don't adopt our passions and values? And with family integration, by doing church with your kids, you get to model and share and show them your passion. And they're more likely to grow up and adopt those passions and those values that you have because you're sharing it with them. And so family integration enables you to model your faith. Number two, family integration enables you to observe their faith. To observe their faith. As a parent, you are your child's spiritual coach. You ever heard of life coaches? Well, that's no more true than of a parent. You are your child's spiritual coach, but you're only going to be as effective to the degree that you know them. We live in a generation where most parents do not know their kids, and that only becomes evident whenever a major crisis comes to the surface in the child's life. The child begins smoking, begins doing drugs, gets pregnant, and the parents say, "What? We had no idea there were problems." Most parents are so separated, so segregated, they're not doing life together. Parents do not know their kids. You can only be as effective as a coach if you know them. You've got to know them in order to be able to provide the necessary and the correct instruction and encouragement and motivation and correction. In a typical traditional church, it's sort of like your kids go to a different church than you. You go to a different church that shares the same address, but you're not together at all. There's so much that you don't know about them. What exactly are they being fed and taught? You can just hope for the best. How well are they engaging with the singing, the preaching, the discussion, the prayer time? Are they sitting in the front with their Bible open, pen in hand, taking notes? Or are they sitting in the back doodling? Are they cutting up? Are they cutting class in the bathroom for half the time? Do they participate in group prayer or do they remain silent? How do they interact in a small group setting? Do they speak up in the discussion or do they keep to themselves? And if they speak up, what are their answers? Do their answers reflect a strong biblical worldview or a very, very worldly perspective? Who do they sit with whenever they're in Bible study or whenever they're in the children's ministry or youth ministry? And what are those kids like? How do those kids engage with what's happening? You have no idea. There's so much about your kids you just don't know because they're away from you. But with family integration, you get to sit right next to your child and you know what they're being taught, you know how well they're engaging, and then you can quiz them on their level of understanding after church. You can see whether or not they're praising God during the singing time or if they're just, you know, picking their nose and thinking about something else. You can really, really observe your children and then you can know exactly where they are spiritually to provide them the necessary and appropriate coaching, which is so lacking in many families. It's been said that the best way to teach somebody something, and this comes straight from the Bible, from Jesus' example with his disciples, the best way to teach someone something is to explain it and then model it and then invite them to do it with you and then observe them doing it so you can provide some feedback and some coaching. That's exactly what we're going to get in a family-integrated children's and student ministry. You get to explain the faith, and they're going to hear it explained at church. But then also, you get to invite them to do it with you, to do church and home group and volunteering right there with you. You get to share it with you. You get to model it for them. And then finally, you get to observe them doing it so that you can provide the appropriate feedback and correction and instruction and encouragement. And so that's where we're headed as a church. And let me tell you something. Not everybody's going to like this. Number one, what this means is that men are going to be challenged to step up. And a lot of men don't want to step up. But number two, this is very non-traditional. It's a whole paradigm shift. And I realize that. But the Lord has really, really led me to this place. And placed it on my heart that, Andy, this is what's best for your kids. And then I said, well, Lord, that's great. That's fine. That's what we're going to do. But, Lord, I don't want to disrupt what's going on in our church. You know, we've gone through changes before, and they're just not fun. The only people that like change are babies with dirty diapers. So I said, Lord, let me just, this is just what I'm going to do with my family. And that's it. And the Lord said, why do you think I called you to be a pastor? Why do you think I called you to start a new church so you could be just like every other church down the road? You could have just gone and worked for one of those churches. I called you to lead. And some people will take the journey. And God is going to bless us. And God is going to do amazing things. Some people will not. And all I can do is just be faithful with God, with what God has shown me. And what I want most importantly is not for you just to come along for the ride, but I want you to buy in. Oh, I so hope that you can catch the vision for discipling your kids. There's a dynamic between parent and child that cannot be duplicated. Disciple your kids and then see church differently. Not as a place to bring your kids and then pass them off, but as a place to model your faith and observe theirs. And so what's the next step for you this morning? Well, I want to encourage you to begin discipling your kids in the home. I want to begin encourage you to begin doing church with your kids. Start seeing church differently, parents. This is a discipleship opportunity. Anytime you're with your kids, especially at church, it's a discipleship opportunity. It's a great opportunity to get involved in home group. And if your child is, you think they're old enough, we say that your child needs to be sixth grade to come to home group. That's not a biblical thing. As soon as you feel like your child is mature enough and you're ready to bring them, it's not about grade. It's about when you think they're ready, you bring them to home group with you. That's another discipleship opportunity. Start seeing church differently as a way for you to disciple your kids. Three questions that I asked last week, and I want to present them to you this week. Number one, are you setting the example for your kids? Are you the kind of person today that you want your kids to be tomorrow? Number two, are you, especially in particular fathers, are you discipling your kids at home? If you're not, you need to repent. It's a biblical calling on your life. There's so much more to being a father than simply bringing home a paycheck. There's so much more to being a good father, a biblical father, than just bringing your family to church. You are the pastor, the shepherd of your home. You need to be discipling your family. Number three, is your life structured in such a way that you have as much time as possible with your kids so that you will have the most influence on them? And what changes do you need to make? I want to thank you for your attention this morning, and thank you for giving me your ears. And God bless you. Listen, I love you guys, and I love our church. And listen, I'm really excited about where we're going, where we're headed. And I really want you to come along for the ride. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for our time together this morning, for giving us this time to settle down, to be quiet, and to listen, Lord, to listen to biblical instruction. Father, I pray, Lord, that this vision would just spread in our church like wildfire, and that it would spread in our community, that we would truly be effective at reaching the next generation. I pray that you would turn the hearts of parents to their children and turn the hearts of children to their parents. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless y'all. Thanks for coming today. And don't forget to turn in your connection cards, prayer requests, anything like that as you leave.